Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
As I said, I'm joined now by Eamon Ryan, Minister for the Environment, Climate, Communications and Transport. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire.
You're welcome to the studio. Now, the DAA, the Dublin Airport Authority, came out this morning, and I think it's fair to say, proudly announced that they're going to breach the passenger cap this year. They talk about exponential growth, unprecedented numbers in August. They've obviously taken the view that they can do that and to hell with the consequences.
No, you have to live within planning conditions, and the cap is in existence going back to 2007, 2008. They are looking to have it raised, and that's a matter for the planning authorities. They have an application in with Fingal County Council for the development of the airport, but also to raise the cap.
Yeah.
And in the interim or before that, you do have to abide by planning conditions. We all do. Be you a public company or be you a private company or be you an individual. If you get rid of that condition to abide by the law, well, it's a free-for-all. It would be chaos. So I listened to Kenny Jacobs on the radio this morning. I agree with him two things. Firstly, that Dublin Airport could have done more quicker themselves. He's admitted that and said that in terms of seeing this coming in a way and trying to get the issue addressed. But also I agree with him the second main point he was making, which I think is true. The state has to hold up its hands and say, our planning and legal system is not serving the public good at the moment in terms of the speed of decisions or the ability to get things built in our country in many instances because, well, firstly, we did have a particular difficulty on board Panola. Everyone was aware of some of the controversial issues that there in recent years. That has been addressed. There is a significant increase in staffing. It's up to, I think, 280 now, and we'll go up to 310 people, which we need. Mm. And they need to turn around decisions quicker across a whole range of different areas. And we also have a planning and development bill, because I do believe in our legal system at the present, we have created incredibly litigious, expensive, and not always in that way benefiting the common good.
Okay, but just to come back to this issue of the breach of the cap, they will face consequences for that. You're clear on that, are you?
Well, that is, yes. Firstly, it's a matter of the local authority, Fingal County Council, is the body responsible that has to enforce planning conditions. They're the same body that Dublin Airport Authority are dealing with in terms of their application to raise the cap. And that has to be done in a quick and timely manner. There are other issues in Dublin Airport. There's an issue we've had about nighttime flights, which we also have been waiting for almost 2 years now for a decision with regard to how the airport is managed. And the airport has to work well with its neighbours. I mean, there's been controversy. To take an example of why you have to live within planning conditions, the airport themselves would acknowledge that in the opening of the new runway and in the allowing of takeoff flight paths, which were outside the original condition, they actually lost a lot of confidence of their neighbours and local community. They acknowledged that. They revised it to make sure they were back within the planning conditions. When we get that decision, and I expect that will come soon, it surely will come soon, that it will, that may help us in terms of addressing the immediate issue.
Did they tell you in advance of publicly announcing it today that they are going to breach the passenger cap? Did they tell your department?
We're in regular contact. Again,
so you knew that wasn't a surprise to you this morning?
Well, we'd been, both the department, myself and Junior Minister Lawless now, we're in constant communication with the airport.
But you didn't know that they were going to breach the cap this year?
It's always slightly tricky to measure in airway numbers. No one knows exactly for sure what the number of people taking flights are. So it's not an exact science where you know it's going to be exactly this number. But everyone knew that we were at the very edge of the existing cap and that we do have to address the issue. It is something that, but it is, that has to be done in the planning system. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been getting a lot of abuse from the likes of Michael O'Leary and others saying, oh, all you can do, all you have to do, Minister, is you just have to step in and address it and click your fingers and it'll all be solved. That's not possible. That's not true. That's not within the law. And unless you want to throw out the Irish Constitution, throw out the Irish legal system and start having ministers is running by fiat and diktat, then that's the way you go. But that's not how this country works. We are a democratic constitutional republic. We live within the law, all of us.
But you don't want to see the passenger cap raised to 40 million, do you?
I think that's first and foremost a matter for the local planning authorities.
But your personal view
aviation,
on it?
Well, my personal view is that we will have to start in all sorts of ways making sure we manage our emissions, and aviation is a critical part of that. I think in doing that, though, the way to do it is not to go through a banning route in whatever different aspect of Irish society. We have to. My aviation is probably going to be the most difficult, one of the most difficult areas to address in climate change. We benefit tremendously from the connectivity that aviation brings to us as an island, particularly. The way we'll manage aviation emissions, in my mind, is to really accelerate the provision of sustainable aviation fuel, which will allow us to be able to get the benefits that aviation brings, but not breach the emissions cap or the emissions limits that we're in. I think that's the way to go, mm-hmm. not necessarily going through a cap. I would have to say there are other aspects of this. We have a national planning framework which says balance, better balanced regional development. We do have an issue in the country that everything is going through Dublin. 90%+ of flights through Dublin. 90% or 80-90% of all the trucks coming in.
Well, the DAA
are coming
would say
into Dublin
that they
port.
Are growing Cork as
yes,
well.
Yes, Cork grew 11% this year, Shannon 7. And I think so the issue and the solution to this, firstly, it's a planning matter, and that means that the airport and the local authority as the planning body have to manage that. And they do have to do that quickly,
so
as Kenny
saying,
says.
So you're saying to Kenny Jacobs and to Michael O'Leary, direct your ire not at me as minister, but at the planning authority.
Well, just don't make false nonsense. Don't put out false, why are you pitching it in a way that all this takes the political decision from the minister and if it wasn't for that, we'd be fine? That's not true. Mm-hmm. And that's not accurate. And that's not within the law.
But if the solution lies in sustainable airline fuels and increasing use of them, what are you doing to compel the airlines to use those fuels or to further invest in finding a solution?
Well, in fairness to Ryanair, actually, they're probably ahead of the game in that. They're probably the number one airline in terms of buying up a lot of the sustainable aviation fuel across Europe. I want them to start to be able to buy that in Dublin and in Cork and Shannon particularly. And it's my job as Minister of Energy to set up the conditions where we can develop and deliver that. Mm-hmm. We start with the production of large-scale electricity. The likes of offshore wind gives us that capacity. I am working in London next week. I was talking to the German government this week about how we can work in collaboration to make the really significant investments you need to make that happen. Okay. It will take time. It will take a decade plus. But that is, in my mind, our best way of managing aviation emissions and keeping the benefits that flights do bring us as people.
And are
as
you
a country.
Saying that the airlines are doing enough themselves without pressure from you? I mean, give Ryanair a deadline to make certain levels of investment.
Well,
for example, I did that.
I was a member of the European Energy Council and Transport Council, where we've set targets within the European Fit for 55 legislative package, which we've just agreed. So we have set targets. Mm-hmm. We have set conditions that they have to meet. So, and that is designed to start the process of change. The really big change will come next decade, but that requires massive investment and it requires planning now, which is what we're doing.
But I'm sure those in the aviation industry will be very interested to hear you say today that a cap is not the be-all and end-all when it comes to reducing emissions.
We will not address the climate change by pointing the finger at people, shaming people, blaming people, turning it into you're the real problem here. What we need is system change, which makes it easier for us to have the quality of life and the security we need and live within the climate limits.
So you have no issue with 40 million passengers a year travelling through Dublin Airport?
I have an issue globally that we are breaching our climate limits. We are not on track. We do need to change. But the answer to that, if we start saying, and others have tried it, Schiphol, Dutch Airline, mm-hmm. Dutch Airport tried it. Well, no, they did because for a variety of different reasons. But that didn't work. And I do think the way forward for us is through working through global agreement. We do need to put price on aviation, which currently is exempt from a lot of the international taxes that go on fossil fuels. Aviation gets a call out. And again, that is coming through international agreement, not through anything we're going to do immediately or individually here at home. So there are a variety of things we need to do. I don't think this cap issue is not about climate. It is about the cap was put in place because we do have traffic restrictions and traffic limits on the approach roads and the roads around the airport.
And Kenny Jacobs referred to that this morning. He said this has nothing to do with climate.
The original condition wasn't put in for climate reasons. It was put in for infrastructure reasons from on board Panola, not from the political system.
Okay.
And we are also going to be addressing that. We will build the metro. We will put in bus connects and the other infrastructure that will make that is needed. And that is some of the ways in which we can address the immediate issue.
Okay. Moving on then more generally to climate issues, because there was a sense and a assumption in Ireland that we wouldn't be impacted by climate change as drastically as other countries in the southern hemisphere, for example. But you're warning that we could cross a tipping point as early as the middle of this century, this dramatic drop in temperatures that some scientists believe we could face. You're warning this could happen within 25 years.
Yeah, I wrote an article in the Irish Times yesterday because I thought there was very important scientific studies published this summer, which actually back up what people can see in a way. Our weather is weird. Like, the last year has been extraordinary. Anyone out in the west of Ireland this year, southwest, northwest, would realise, or for the last year, the wind, the rain, the clouds, mm-hmm. the change conditions. That's due to a short-term phenomenon, which has been quite a dramatic increase in the sea temperatures in the North Atlantic. More energy, higher sea temperatures, more evaporation, more wind, cloud, rain, and so on. But the studies that published this summer, and it's the third summer in a row there's been significant scientific studies published, raise a real concern for us. Because to this, up to this point, the scientific consensus, and it's still not agreed, this is very much debated within the scientific community, but was that the switching off of the Atlantic circulation system, the Gulf Stream, we would know it, but it's actually more than the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream brings warm water from the Caribbean to Ireland. It's quite salty water because it's come from an area with high evaporation. It gets to between Norway and Iceland, that near us, and it drops down when it meets those colder waters. It drops down about 2 kilometres and then returns in a circulation system, cold water going back south, and actually connects up to a South Atlantic system. The global ocean conveyor belt is connected. The risk and the issue for Ireland is, if that stops, and one of the things that could stop, and this is complex system, so the modelling is quite difficult, but the meltwater from Greenland feeding into our waters, the scientists' concern might destabilise that system, which is fundamental to our weather and our climate system, and the AMOC, the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation System, would stop. If that were to happen, in our minds, climate change as well, it's going to be slightly warmer in Ireland, but it won't be as harsh as somewhere else. If the Atlantic circulation system stops, we actually go into a very harsh climate and unfortunately a very cold climate at the same time that the rest of the world burns. And I just wrote the article because I think it does need to be understood that we are at risk just as much as everywhere else. And Irish people are already committed to climate action. I'm convinced of that. We can see it happening. Our results are starting to come in. Our emissions fell 6.8% last year. The Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland have a paper out today showing we're showing further progress so far this year. Not in every area. Transport, go back to what we were saying earlier, is probably the area we need to do most. But we can make the leap, but we need everyone to make it. And we are at risk as much, if not more, than anyone else.
And we need to pick up the pace in just about every area. I want to ask you about the scoping report into the abuse of children in religious schools. It's on the front page of almost every newspaper this morning. And a key ask for survivors now is a redress system. And Norma Foley said yesterday there's a moral obligation on religious orders to contribute to any scheme. The moral obligation, though, we have learned through experience, it's not enough. Is there a way that those religious orders, Minister, can be compelled to pay?
Just go back, if I can, to the first question, the key ask. My understanding, the key ask, and firstly, these are coming from a lot of people that I would have been contemporaneous with. A lot of this went on from 1927 right through, and it's probably still occurring today. We have to be very careful. What's happening today that we might not be noticing or seeing is my kind of first instinct. But what my understanding of those people who absolutely rightly at the core, what they want first and foremost is accountability and transparency and the real holding to account. And that's why the key first recommendation from this scoping report was the commission and was the full transparency and doing that in a way that does bring people who were responsible in to answer why was that allowed, why did that happen, because I think for them, as well as the original greatest crime against them as individuals, it's the subsequent denial in some ways made that worse. And I think so, first and foremost, we have to get this commission in place and we have to bring people in to account for what mm-hmm. happened and their part.
But you do know that for some people, redress is a key ask.
That may well be. We have a lot of work to do at the Joint Rocks Committee and bring different governments department to set up this commission and to look at the, mm-hmm. all the aspects of it. We did not make all those decisions yesterday in government. We agreed we would do it in a collective, coordinated way, including engaging with the survivors, as we've done in this, as was done very well in my mind, in this scoping report. So you don't jump, get the report half an hour later, they say, oh, there we go, this, this and this. That wouldn't actually do justice to what the people are looking for, which is a proper mm-hmm. accounting for what took place.
There are calls from many people writing in the last 24 hours for all religious orders to be taken out of the Irish education system. Do you think that should happen?
Come back to what I was saying earlier on. We do live in a free country where I don't think we, just as much as I'd say I'm opposing bans, Irish parents and do want, the evidence is that a lot of parents do want still to have a religious ethos within, and that's a matter of choice. It is changing. We have a lot of new schools opening which don't come from that tradition, but there are a lot of parents. We don't want to lose what we also gained, as well as all the heinous crimes that took place, there is a, well, the teaching of the Gospels brings good things too. And I don't know if we'd want to, I think it's up to parents. I think to a certain extent we need greater flexibility.
But many parents don't have a choice. That's probably the point that those people are making who are saying that they should be taken out.
We need to provide more choice. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of our community school systems do work in a way where they allow for flexibility within schools. I saw it in my own children's primary school where we were able to, in my experience, we did do Holy Communion, but at the same time, those children who didn't want to be part of that tradition were still included. It wasn't as divisive. I think we need divide ways of recognising that modern Ireland is very different to the Ireland of the 60s, 70s and before that. Right. And yes, that does need more choice, but that shouldn't be removing the choice of some parents who might want an educational ethos within their education or within their school.
Minister, we leave it there. Thank you very much for coming in. That's Minister Eamon Ryan. And a reminder that Ryanair's Michael O'Leary will be with us later on in the programme.